Glad to be together to worship our God together and gain more insight to what He wants. What a blessed people we are in Jesus. A great blessing to be in Christ. And this morning we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, 17 through 22. And we're going to be talking about God's grace and a laid foundation. That we're a part of that, and it's so good to know that. I want you to look with me to begin with in chapter 1, verse 13. He says in Ephesians 1, 13, in Him, Him being Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You and I heard a message of truth. That message is the gospel of our salvation. The message came and comes only through the gospel. And you have to put some faith in that gospel and respond to it the way Jesus says to respond. And that is the very foundation of God's grace. It started with the gospel. God owes us nothing. We need to realize that. We're not special. We're not saved because we've done some good things. No one is saved by works. No one is saved by their goodness. It's all because God's graciousness that He chose to be merciful. He chose to be kind and forgiving for our sins. And that's why He had Jesus die on that cross. And so when we listen to that message of the truth, the grace of God became ours. Salvation became ours. If you look right quick to chapter 2, look at verse 16. And here He's discussing the Jew and the Gentile. Two different groups of people. We talked about this last week a little bit. You know, the Jew and Gentile did not get along. And God's graciousness was to provide salvation for the Gentile also. Verse 16. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. You see, there was a great hatred between the Jew and Gentile. And the Jew thought that they were special because they had the law of Moses. The law did give them an advantage from the fact that Jesus would be the Messiah coming through that law, but it gave them no more of an advantage of being saved. So God worked it out so the Gentile could be saved, and that in doing that, God's plan of grace was to bring about the Jew and the Gentile both together through the cross and present them all together, one body, to God. That was the plan and the salvation of God. Then we begin in verse 17 of chapter 2. And He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. He makes a quote out of Isaiah 57:19. And in this quote, it's the prophecy of Jesus. That way back there in Isaiah's time, God already had it formulated. I'm going to bring the Gentile into this thing, and I'm going to have Jesus preach peace to those who are near the Jew and to those who are far away. I'm going to reconcile them both as to one. And notice in verse 17, speaking of Jesus, He came and preached peace. Jesus came preaching, teaching. That's how He came to this world. And you know, a lot of times today you hear people talk. I hear it often. The Lord spoke to me a word. Gave me His word. No, He didn't. No, the Lord does not do that today. No, He came and He preached through Jesus. Jesus came preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching doesn't come from God in some kind of mystical, magical form. Never has and never will. Hold this for just a second. Come over to Hebrews chapter 1. I want to show you something. I think it's worth pointing out. So all of us can understand the purpose of God. Jesus came preaching and teaching, but not in some magical way. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions, in many ways. Way back there, you know what God did? God spoke to the prophets, and He did it in many different ways. When you go back and read those Old Testament prophets, God gave them visions. He gave them dreams. He brought His word to them in various ways. That's what He did. But look at verse 2. In these last days, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. The Hebrew writer says, you know what God's done in these last days? He has spoken to us how? In His Son. He used to speak in all these varied ways, but now He's spoken to us in His Son. Notice the tense of that. Has spoken. Jesus came preaching and teaching. There is no more coming from God. There's no more further insight. Jesus came preaching. Jesus spoke to us, the Hebrew writer says, from God through Jesus. No more is coming. Has spoken. God's final message was through Jesus and Jesus alone. So through Him, back here in Ephesians 2, through Him, He came and He preached peace to those who were far away, to the Gentile, and those who were near. He's reconciling them into one body. We're going to focus on that this morning. And so because of that, continue on. Look at verse 18. Of Ephesians 2. For through Him, Jesus, we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. Guess what Jesus gave us? Access in one Spirit. Do you have the Spirit of God? Spirit of God is not something you feel. He's not something that comes over you, makes you swoon. Spirit of God is a promise. Back in Ephesians 1, He called Him the Spirit of promise. When we were baptized into Christ, you and I were promised to be forgiven and that we would receive the Holy Spirit at that time. You see, forgiveness was where the grace of God came and appeared. The Spirit was given so you and I could have our access to God as being forgiven. And so what does all this mean? Let's look at it. Look at verse 19 while we're here. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. There's been a great change in us because of Christ. You're not an alien. You're not a foreigner to God. Because of Jesus, He says, we are now fellow citizens with other saints and are of God's household. Household. We belong to God's house. That's who we are in Jesus. And we have our access to God through this one Spirit, to Jesus. You are now, and I'm now, part of God's household. All of us. This is a result of salvation. Not foreigners. Continue on. Look at verse 20. having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. This household that we're a part of, it was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. They laid a foundation. And Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the bedrock of God's household. I want to look at that the rest of the time this morning. I want to make some things very clear, not in an offensive way, but I want to be very clear because it's in Scripture. Most people don't pay attention to it. Come back with me to Matthew chapter 16. I want to show you something. When Jesus came preaching and teaching, he was very specific in his preaching and teaching. Matthew chapter 16. And I want you to pay real close attention. You may have read this, but again, most people don't pay attention. Most people just kind of gloss over this and just move on. And then you will start hearing all this other things about other households of God. I'll be more specific in just a second. In Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus isn't taking a running poll. He's asking, "What have you heard how people see me?" Because he's got to get something specific from these apostles. They're going to be the one to lay the bedrock of the foundation of God's household. So they have all these ideas they're hearing. Oh, he's one of the prophets. You know, he's maybe John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or someone like that. Verse 15. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" I want to hear from you apostles. I've been walking with you. You've listened to my messages. You've heard my word. You've watched my miracles. Who do you say that I am? Continue on, verse 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter announces, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one God sent." Everything was going to come through Jesus, and everything was going to be reconciled through Jesus as the foundation of this household that God was bringing into existence. And Peter recognized him. "You're the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And because of Peter's confession, Jesus confesses something about Peter. Continue on. Verse 17. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, who is Peter? His name is Simon Bar-Jonah. Jesus calls him that, and he blesses him. And look what he says in 18. "I also say to you that you are Peter." He changed his name. The word, the name Peter, means a stone, a rock, something you could throw. Simon Bar-Jonah, no longer. You're going to be Peter. And upon this rock, what rock? The rock of Peter? No, Peter's a stone. Upon what rock? The rock that I am the Messiah, that I am the living one, that I am the Son of God, that's the bedrock of everything's going to be founded upon. And he says, because of that, I'm going to build, verse 18, upon that rock of who I am, I will build what? My church. Now, I got to tell you this right quick, that the word church there is not what we think. No, Jesus hadn't died, so his church has not come into existence. Not until his death, and I'll show you that in just a second. It's upon the rock, the bedrock, the foundation, that I am the Messiah, that I'm the Son of God, that I'm going to bring into existence my church, my household, and it's going to be presented to God, one body, not multiple bodies, my church, my called out assemblies. These people will belong to me, and I'm going to be the foundation of the whole thing, and it can't be moved. It can't be changed. Verse 18, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Hades, a place of punishment for the unrighteous. And he said, you know what? My called out assembly, my people, Hades will not overpower them. And it's kind of interesting, he uses the gates of Hades. Hades is seen with these gates that opens up. Jesus acknowledges that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus told these same disciples, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many there will be who will find it. Jesus is trying to encourage these disciples, you need to go through this narrow gate, because in this narrow gate, Hades' gates have no opening for you. I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of the living God. And all grace, all salvation, and all truth is going to come through me and me alone. And I'm going to be the bedrock, the very foundation that holds up God's household. I'm going to be that foundation. And you and I need to understand who we are in relationship to God. This is God's grace at work. And I'm going to build my assembly, my church. We use that church term a lot, my church. Well, there are churches. No, there's not. I said this last week and we talked through it. There's not multiple churches. Jesus laid the bedrock. He's the bedrock for his church. And he's going to make sure that the apostles laid the foundation of how it was going to be. Let's continue on. Verse 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth have been loosed in heaven. You know what he's handing over to those apostles? To Peter? I'm giving you the keys. You're going to have the keys to my kingdom, my bedrock, my church, my foundation, my household. You've got the keys. And now when those apostles, they followed Jesus and they listened to Jesus' teachings, Jesus promised to the apostles only, I'm going to give you of my spirit, and my spirit will guide you into all the truth so that you'll be able to teach people how to get access to the one God and one Father. And so in Acts 2, we know the day of Pentecost, Jesus had been killed 50 days earlier. He had risen from the dead. And those apostles stood up in front of all the nation of Israel and cried out, "Let all the nation of Israel know for certain that this Jesus that you crucified is Lord, and He is the Messiah. He is Christ. He's the living one. And if you want salvation, it's coming only through Him and no other way." Well, they were all under the idea of Moses and the law. And so they ask in Acts 2:37, "What do we do?" And Peter stated it plainly. "All of you, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift, the Holy Spirit." So Paul's reminded the church at Ephesus that Jesus came along and He brought them under His Messiahship. And He's presenting to both Jew and Gentile one body. Here it is. This is my body. And I'm the foundation of this body. There is no other way through to God but through me and my teachings. And those apostles are the ones that turned that key. And these things were bound on earth and they were bound in heaven. That's the way you gain entrance. And everybody's running around today talking about this body and that body. Jesus didn't. I'm the body. I'm the way. I'm the one that will determine how things go and how things are. Even John knew it in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 5 and 6. John made this very clear. "They speak as of the world, and the world listens to them. Those who are of God listens to us, apostles. By this you will know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Brethren, this is so important because this one teaching will come up again in the book of Ephesians. We have to understand there is only one way, one entry. There is only one body that Jesus presented to God. And it's not all this religious stuff out there. And people want to think that, well, are you being a little arrogant saying you've got it? Jesus has it. Those apostles went and presented it. And when they presented it to the nation of Israel, there wasn't no argument that day. No one was going to question it. We got the keys. Jesus gave us the keys. You want in? We're the way. Here's the way in. There is no other if, and, or buts. This is it. This is not arrogance. It's the rock. It's the bedrock. That Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And He is the only one that will get you to God. There is no other way around it. You don't go crawling off somewhere and say a sinner's prayer. You don't ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart. You don't ask the Holy Spirit to come guide you. No, that's not the way. The way was to be baptized into His name. Put some faith in that and respond that away, and then you'll receive the gift, the Holy Spirit. That's the way all of this works. And so Paul has given them all of this. Come back to Ephesians chapter 2. I want us to read again. Look at verse 18 again. After going through that in Matthew 16, look at 18. "For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." 21. In whom the whole building, this is God's household, the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. God's only got one household. And that's where God is at work. Back up to chapter 1, look at verse 22. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, God to Jesus, and gave him his head over all things to the church. There's that assembly. Which is what? His body. Did you notice what he didn't say? That he didn't call it to a church, the church. Jesus built his called out assembly. And it's based on his word, his instructions, and the apostles laid that foundation. You've got to be a person, I've got to be a person that loves the truth. That loves that gospel, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to be a part of it, if you're going to have your access to God, it comes through that. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, Paul quotes, says these words, of this church, this called out assembly, I was made a minister to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ to those who believe it. One. And like I said, when we get over to Ephesians 4, you know what he's going to call it? There is only one body. I said it last week and I'll say it again so people don't mishear. There is no such thing in Scripture from God as a denomination. The term denomination literally means divided. No, Jesus is the one that gives people all one access to God through Himself. And you and I have got to be looking at that one access. We've got to be a people that love that. Not in arrogance, but the fact is that we hold to Jesus so that He can bring us to God in one body. Here in chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 23 with me again. Which is talking about the church, which is His body. Notice the end of verse 23. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. Think about that statement. The body. This one access to this one body, this church, is the only place that the fullness of God fills. He doesn't feel anything outside of Jesus. Jesus is the bedrock. He is the foundation. The apostles came out and they laid that foundation. And everybody's trying to go hollering all these other things. And no one's looking at the Word of God. No one's listening to Jesus. I want us to listen to Jesus. To make sure that the things that you believe are true, make sure it lines up with the teaching of the apostles. They were given the Word. They were sent out into all the world to preach it. They taught it. We have letter after letter where the apostles instructed this body, this is what you need to hold to. This is what's proper. This is what's correct. We need to hold to that with all of our heart. This is God's grace to man. I said it a while ago, God doesn't owe us anything. But His graciousness, He said, I'm going to give one foundation. And this is the foundation everything will be built upon. And I want us to hold to that with all of our heart. And if there's something I've misspoken or misstated, let me know. I'm willing, but let's look at Scripture. Let's hold to God. Let's hold to the teachings of Jesus because we are of God's household. We are one body. We are one church. And because of our access through the grace of God to God, He is our access. And you can feel confident about that.